We'd spend the last few weeks studying that Rabbi Meir. And this was all as an introduction to what Rav Shira Gaon is going to tell us about Rabbi Meir. So now we're going to read finally what Rav Shira Gaon is telling us about Rabbi Meir. Rav Shira Gaon says, "Umasa Rabbi Kiva et atzmo achar shniftar Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma." Rabbi Kiva gave himself over, so to speak, to be executed by the Roman Empire after Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma was killed. V'nehrag Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion v'etzimet. Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion, who was Rabbi Meir's father-in-law, we had seen the terrible way in which he was executed with pieces of wool that were put on his heart and the way he was burned. V'nitmata chokhma, and when these great sages were executed, so the wisdom among the Jewish people went down. V'heemit talmidim arbe, Rabbi Kiva established many students. But the Jewish people relied on Rabbi Akiva's second group of disciples. The Amar Rabbanan, that our sages taught us, 12,000 zugot talmidim yulu Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had taught 12,000 peers, meaning 24,000 students, from the city of Gabat to the city of Antifares, Antitares, v'chulam metu min haPesach v'Adatzeret, and all of these students passed away between Pesach and Shavuot. That's what we call Sfiras Omer, the period we count the Omer from Pesach until Shavuot, 49 days. Shelo nagu kavod ze bazeh. Our sages taught us the reason why these students passed away is because they did not act with enough honor to one another.
Did they pass away or were they killed?
So the Talmud says they passed away. And some of the rabbis in later generations wanted to say that the Talmud wanted to cover up, so to speak, that they had partaken in the rebellion of Bar Kokhba. We know in another place the Talmud says that Rabbi Akiva was a big fan of Bar Kokhba. He's the one that changed his name to Bar Kokhba. He's the one that gave him that nickname, Son of a Star. He held he would be the Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kokhba would be the Mashiach. So some want to say that that's how all these students died. But what the Talmud says is that these students died because they didn't honor one another enough. And so God sent a plague of sorts that wiped away these 24,000 students. And that's why we learn Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuos. On Shabbos afternoon, after Mincha, we read a chapter of Pirkei Avos every week. And this is to strengthen our traits to one another, because this is a time when we know the Jewish people historically had issues with this. Before Rabbi Akiva's time, this was a period of great happiness between Pesach and Shavuos. Because this is a period where people are reaping their crops. It's the spring. It's a nice time. This was time, festive season. We consider it as though the festival of Pesach takes us all the way till Shavuot. We have the spirit of Pesach till Shavuot. And then when this occurred, so this period switched. It became a period of mourning. And the world seemed to be in utter desolation. Till the rabbis from the south came up to learn by Rabbi Akiva, and he taught them, and the rabbis from the south were Rabbi Meir, the famous Rabbi Meir who we spent all this time talking about, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lozer ben Shamua, Nehenem Yidua Bota Shah. And these five disciples are the ones that maintained the Torah at that time because of these students. And from here our sages teach us that a person should never stop teaching. Person can't say, well, I have thousands of disciples. Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 disciples. He taught another five, and those five were the ones that kept it going. If we have children when we're young, we should have children when we're old. If we teach when we're young, we should teach when we're old. Person has to continue being fruitful. Rabbi Meir ha-vegamil v'charif umchudat fei mechulhon. And Rabbi Meir was considered sharper and more learned than all the other students. V'samche Rabbi Akiva v'afagav dianukava. And Rabbi Akiva gave him rabbinic ordination, even though he was young. V'samchinun l'shara Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba bata Rabbi Akiva. And the rest of them, the other four disciples, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua, they all got rabbinic ordination from Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. V'hadar samchet Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba also gave a second ordination to Rabbi Meir, Kedam Reinan, as the Gemara teaches us, Amar B'yuda Amarav, Zachur to Aish Latov, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba Shmo. We remember this man for good. His name is Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. Shilmalei hu batlud miknasot miYisrael. If not for him, we can no longer rule on laws that relate to taxes, to knas, to find, in order for a rabbi to rule on halachos, on a court that has to rule regarding fines, he must have rabbinic ordination that dates back to Moshe Rabbeinu. His rabbi must be have gotten rabbinic ordination from rabbi, that got rabbinic ordination from rabbi, going all the way back to Moshe. And there was a time, Pam Achat, there was a time, Gazra Malchut Arshah Shmad Al Yisrael. The Roman Empire is referred to in the Gemara as Malchut Arshah, the wicked empire, the evil empire. The concept that Bush coined really was coined long before him. The Gemara, when it refers to the Roman Empire, calls it the evil empire. Pam Achat Gazra Malchut Arshah Shmad Al Yisrael. The evil empire once made a decree to try and get the Jews to leave their faith. And they ruled, Shekol HaSomech, whoever gives rabbinic ordination, Yareg, will get killed. V'chol HaNismach, and whoever receives rabbinic ordination, Yareg, will get killed. The Ir Shesumchim Ba Techarev, and whatever city it's found that within that city rabbinic ordination was given, the whole city will be destroyed. V'chumin Shesumchim Ba'im Yaku, and the surrounding bordering cities will also be destroyed. So this was the decree that the Roman Empire had established. Ma'asar b'yudamin baba, what did Rabbi Yudamin baba do? Halach v'yashav lo ben shnei arim zolim. He sat between two huge cities, between two huge mountains, ben shtei ayarot dolot, ben shnei tchumei shabbat, between the two cities of Usha and Shafra'am, the samach hamishaz kenim. And he gave rabbinic ordination to five sages. One, the first was Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lez ben Shimon, Rabbi Ivya would add after Rabbi Nehemiah as well. So the Gemara asks, we have a tradition, Abba Bar Bachana taught us in the name Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Meir received his ordination specifically from Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara answers that Rabbi Meir received his ordination from Rabbi Akiva, but he was so young that the other rabbi said, we're not accepting this rabbinic ordination. So he re-received ordination from Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. Now, Rav Shira Gaon ends the chapter with this, ending on a good note, and we're going to end on a bad note, unfortunately. We'll fill in the part of the story that the Gemara quotes that Rav Shira Gaon didn't quote us. The Gemara says that the Romans heard that Rav Yehuda ben Baba was there, situated between these two mountains, giving the smicha, and they sent their troops out there. And just as he finished giving them rabbinic ordination, they looked up and they saw the Roman soldiers approaching. Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba told the students, he said, run. And they said, Rabbi, what about you? And he said, I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to be ke'even she'en la hofchim, like a stone that no one can overturn. And our sages say that they started shooting arrows at him, and throwing spears at him, and he wouldn't budge. I think the Gemara says 400 arrows went through him, and he remained standing in his place, standing firm. And finally they made him so filled with holes he dropped dead, but he had stood his ground long enough to detain them that the five students ran away, among them is Rabbi Meir, and that's how the smicha continued. That's how we were able to continue having smicha in Am Yisrael, the rabbinic ordination. And with that we finish the second chapter and we'll go on to the third chapter. That generation, the Nasi, the prince, the leader was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And Rabbi Nathan came from Babylon and he was the head of the court together with Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. As the Gemara teaches us in the end of Horios, and this is one of the Gemaras that we saw, if you recall, we saw the story where Rabbi Nathan and Rabbi Meir was the Chacham, and they saw that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel instituted a new law as to how they rise in honor of the rabbis that enter, discerning the halachic ways of each rabbi, and they wanted to demote him. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel heard that they were trying to impeach him, and he stood his ground. He learned quickly that tractate that night. He learned the tractate of Uktzin, and when the next morning they said, okay, why don't you teach us this tractate, he knew it cold. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said to Rabbi Nathan, after they had tried this impeachment process and it didn't work, Nei de'ani lafzchuta de'avuch le'mehevei avbetin le'mehevei nasim mimehani lach. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel told Rabbi Nathan, he said, you know, you have excellent merits from your forefathers, and that's how you made it to such a high position that you became the chief of the court. But you think that's enough to make you the Nasi, the prince? Rabbi Meir Husha Chacham Ador. And Rabbi Meir was considered the Chacham of the generation, the wise man of the generation. Kidim Faresh Hatam Nami, as the Gemara also tells us over there, Ki Havoai Le Rabbi Meir Rabbi Natan Havikima Kulu Mititam Kamav. That when Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Natan would walk into the assembly, the stadium where everyone was learning, so everyone would stand up in honor of both of them. Vavid Nami Chachamim Gdolim, and in that generation we had other sages, and now he's going to start quoting them. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. By the way, who's Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha? So some say that he's the son of Rabbi Akiva. But because Rabbi Akiva was so persecuted by the Romans, and Rabbi Akiva was bald, so they nicknamed Rabbi Akiva Kereach. Like the Gemara says, there were one sitting in a circle, and one of the rabbis said, I could take anyone on but that bald one, but Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva's nickname among his friends was the bald one. I guess it wasn't a shame to be bald then. I don't know. So his son, Rabbi Yeshua, was known as Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, the son of the bald one. And this was a way of hiding Rabbi Yeshua's identity. By the way, we all know the story of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva went to learn Torah when he was 40 years old. So there are many versions to that story. And one of the versions, it says that he took his son and went to learn Torah at age 40, which would indicate that his marriage with Yael was his second marriage. With Rachel was his second marriage. He already had a child from a previous marriage. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha was one of the sages in this generation, together with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nathan. Rabbi Torah Harbe, Elazar ben Yehuda, Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shamua, Rabbi Yaakov Shpachita, Rabbi Preda, Rabbi Pedat, Kama, Rabbi Zachariah ben Akatzav, Rabbi Matya ben Charash, Rabbi Elazar ben Yomiya, Hanan ben Pinchas, Abba Hanan Tzlimo, Sumchus, these are all names of the sages in that generation, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel, Rabbi Yud ben Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. You all know the story of his donkey, that his donkey wouldn't eat from wheat that Truman and Meisser weren't taken off of. One time robbers tried taking away the donkey, and it wouldn't eat any of the feed they gave him, so finally they let him go, and he found his own way home. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was in this generation. Rabbi Yossi ben Dosa, Isi ben Yehuda, Rabbi Hanana ben Chachinai, Rabbi Yeshbav, he's one of the ten that were murdered with Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshbav, Rabbi Lazar Hakapa, Rabbi Reuven Itzrubeli, and many other sages. And from the days, Umime Rabban Shimon Gamliel Gidel Rabbeinu HaKadosh Bno B'Torah, throughout the days of Rabban Shimon Gamliel, he raised his son, who was Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. He taught him Torah among all these great sages. The Kamrinan, as the Gemara teaches us, when the rabbis would sit on their benches, all the great rabbis, Rebbe would sit by their feet. So he got first dibs on what was going on. As a child, he grew up among all the greatest sages. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, and the sages would ask questions, and the kids knew the answers. So when Rebbe was a kid, he was so sharp that even when he was sitting among the great rabbis, they would ask the questions and he'd already figure out the answer. Amru, so the rabbi said, we're drinking their waters, we're learning from the kids, they're giving us good answers. They're sitting on the floor, how could it be? They're sitting like students and yet they're giving us answers like rabbis. So they built extra benches in this place where the great rabbi sat, and they had the kids sitting on benches like one of the rabbis. Vishimesh Rabbi Tutam Chachamim, and Rabbi served these rabbis, Dama Rabbi, as Rabbi taught us, Kshenun Medim to Rabbi Shimon B'Tekoa. When we learned by Rabbi Shimon in Tekoa, so he tells us a story that they learned many halachos from. Vihirchat Matnitin Minhon Gamal, and all the laws of the Mishnah, he learned from all these rabbis. Rabbi didn't invent anything. People sometimes think Rabbi came and wrote a Mishnah. Rabbi didn't come write a Mishnah. He spent all his years learning by other rabbis and learning the Mishnah, and then he compiled what he had learned by all the other rabbis. Dama Rabbi, as Rabbi himself says, "Kshalachti lilmot Torah etzel Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, chibru alav talmidav ketarnegolim." Rabbi tells us, when I went to learn by this rabbi, so his students would gather around him like chickens, clucking all around him. Velo enichuni lilmot, and they were clucking so much, they were bugging him so much, I couldn't learn anything. So we see Rebbe would travel from one rabbi to another rabbi. Sometimes he made it well, sometimes he said, the students around here are They bugged the rabbi and said, I can't get any learning done. Rabbi says, when I went to Rabbi Elazar ben Shammai, I could only learn one thing that's in our Mishnah. There's only one thing I learned when I made that trip out there. Androgynous, this halacha that androgynous is a person that has both male and female signs, so we treat him like a male, that if a male marries him, so then that's biblically prohibited, he gets the death penalty. The Havu Ba'adei Rebbe, and when Rebbe was appointed as the leader after his father, Kadmanach Bataravui, the name Shalotam Chachamim, so the sons of the rabbis he learned by were with him. So the second generation, he was the next generation, he had the next generation with him. For example, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchakita, and all the other great rabbis who were there, like Rabbi Chia, who came from Babylon, Rabbi Hanina Bar Chama, Rabbi Ephes, you know, in modern Hebrew, Ephes means zero, so in ancient Hebrew it was also a name. Rabbi Ephes, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, the sons of Rabbi, and Rabbi Yanai. These years, the rabbis spent learning together and figuring out all the halachos that had remained as question marks. From the time of the destruction of the temple to Rebbe's generation, we were suffering persecution. And so when Rebbe came and he had a good relationship with Antoninus, the Roman emperor, so Rebbe was able to take advantage of that situation, bring the rabbis together and figure out answers to questions that had remained unanswered for many, many years. And new questions had arose from the fact that the Jews were being persecuted and they couldn't remember the halachos as well as they had until then. So all the questions, arguments, new questions, old questions that arose in these three generations from the destruction of the temple to the time of Rebbe, in Rebbe's time, they came to a halachic conclusion. They decided what the halacha would be. And they were able to verify what was a minority opinion, what was a majority opinion, and verify what was a good source, what was a good quote from what the rabbis held and a bad quote. And it's not that they came to try and figure out new halachos. They were trying to figure out and work out what the ancient halacha was. Rebbe wasn't coming to institute something new. He was coming to reinstate the Mishnah the way it had been in the time of the beginning of the Second Temple, the time of the Great Assembly, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. And working very diligently to find out what was the most correct quote, and looking at each quote and analyzing it clearly, that's how they came up with the Mishnah that we have today. The Ad Sof Yomarot De Rabbanan Leka De Katam Midam Kol Ikar, and until the end of their days no one would write anything. Velo Nami Pechad Lashon Chadav Galsi Rabbanan, and the rabbis didn't have one version of Mishnah. Everyone would quote their version of the oral law. Ela Taimi Dav Yedeh Luhon Vechulon Dat Rivchat Mehon, everyone knew the Mishnah because everyone, it was common knowledge. You ask a person today, how many candles do you light on Hanukkah? So everyone knows. You light one the first night, two the second night, three the next night. How many matzahs do you have on Pesach Seder? So the average person is going to tell you three. The Gra says two. Everyone else says three. So the average person is going to say three. You ask a person, what can you make maror out of? So everyone's going to tell you horseradish, lettuce. The things that everyone knows. And by the same token, the oral law had been known to everyone. So it wasn't even retold in the same version. Everyone had their version of the Mishnah. Everyone would retell it their way. When there were issues that were a minority opinion or a majority opinion, so everyone knew this was his opinion, this was their opinion, etc. There wasn't one version of the Mishnah. But these reasonings, each one would teach his student his way. They didn't have to use the same way. And that's why you guys learned in Pesachim recently the importance of Lashon Nekiya, to speak cleanly. So you remember that student who said, why is it that we harvest olives? We don't do that pure. When we harvest olives, We have to do it in purity, with pure vessels. And when we harvest grapes, we don't. No, the other way around. How can we harvest grapes purely, and we don't harvest olives purely? Right? So one student worded it that way. Another student worded it, how come we harvest grapes purely, and olives we harvest impurely? So they said, you see, he uses a bad word. He uses the word impurely. He didn't have to say it that way. He could have used a nicer way of describing it. Now, from that, that's an example where we see that the Mishnah didn't have one text. Everyone could quote it however they wanted, and it was acceptable. It was a sign as to how nicely you wanted to speak. Sometimes a person would try to speak very, very, using very few words. As we have a tradition that Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Kavinaki, he said few words and he'd get all the points across. And our sages taught us that this is the way a person is supposed to teach. A person is always supposed to try to say as few words as possible. Sometimes a person would only say the general rule, sometimes he'd give many, many examples. Sometimes a person would elaborate, and sometimes a person would say it in a shorter version. Each of the rabbis would teach the way his rabbi taught him. Sometimes they do it in this order, sometimes they do it in that order. Sometimes they do it in a shorter term, sometimes in a longer term. But there was no set Mishnah until the time of Rebbe. And this is where we're going to pick up Mishnah after Pesach. If we could take just a few minutes now to discuss Pesach.